You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Thank you, Jose. Well, hello, strangers. How y'all doing? Am I on? Is this on? Am I on, Luke? Okay. It's good to be back. Yeah. If you're new here, you've been coming a few months, and you're like, who's this guy? I'm the lead pastor here, and I've been on sabbatical for 3 months, and I appreciate a church so much that does that. We do that for our pastors every 5 years, and I've been here 25 years in September. And so you're like, well, did you get a lot? People are asking me, did you get a lot of rest? No. some, but mainly we tried to. I thought, you know, in a sabbatical, what's the goal? And of course it is rest. That's what it means, Sabbath, sabbatical. But we wanted to, one thing that gives me rest, I don't know about you, is if I don't have a lot of disorganization. And you know, when you're running so fast, you know, my shop, I've got a shop out there on the farm, I've got a barn, and when you have things like that, they get cluttered. And there were a lot of projects. So mainly we did projects. I was going to show you pictures, but then I thought, no, that would be more like, you know, somebody coming in and showing you pictures about their family vacation that nobody wants to see. But a few things. We and myself and four other guys built Miss Robin a she shed art studio. And yeah, that was her Christmas present, only 6 months late. And we got my John Deere 1937 Model A fixed and running again. My buddy came from Illinois. He was at one of the services at the front end of the sabbatical. Started building a chicken palace for 10 hens, and planted the garden, repaired a whole bunch of things in the house. So I came back here to get some rest. And I was also checking out on Sundays. Actually, I saw you all about four or five times because several things. One, when we have my grandson, Logan, over, he lives up in Gloucester. When we have him overnight during the weekend, he always wants to come to Point Harbor. Tried to get him to go to different churches, but he wouldn't. And so we were here with him four or five times, I think, during the sabbatical. But I was checking out other churches, would sneak in and just, you know, to steal ideas and stuff and fellowship with them. So here's the thing, all right? If you're here and you're checking out churches and you're like, oh, I got a lot of churches to check out. No, you don't. I've checked them out for you. They're not that good. Had a good time and fellowshiped with some other pastors all. And by the way, props to the staff and the pastors who filled in, amen? They did a great job. I've heard great things. We have a deep bench here at Point Harbor. We really do. And so thank you all for filling the void in that. So we are back in our series, if you're new, and what they did, we interrupted a series I've been leading us through in the book of Acts. So we're back in the book of Acts. While I was gone, the guys did several series and did a great job. I was checking them out online as well if I wasn't here. We are back in the book of Acts. And the title of this series that we've been in is Church on Fire, the book of Acts, Church on Fire. And you're like, Church on Fire? You know, if you're new to church, you're like, what is that all about? And you'll see in a bit. It's on fire of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can do church, and a lot of churches are out there doing church, but they don't have God involved. I mean, God is very little involved or not involved at all. Some of them, God has written Ichabod over the door. The glory of God has departed. And I'm not bragging here. I'm saying this with kind of a holy fear that you know, there could come a day when Point Harbor goes woke, or, you know, just goes into politics and just, you know, does all that instead of preaching the gospel. It ain't going to happen while I'm here, okay? And unless I lose it, and then you just put me out to pasture and, you know, pat me on the head. But if you're new to the Bible or just need a refresher, let me give you some context to the book of Acts. If you're new, you know, you're like, what book of Acts? Why would you call a book Acts? It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Apostles empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So most people are familiar with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? That's the Gospels, the summation of the Gospels. Jesus died on the cross. He went to the grave, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and he resurrected, and then he was seen by 500 of his followers at different times over a period of, 40 days, and then he ascends to heaven. So that's the, but before he ascends, he gives them what commission? Say it louder. The Great Commission, not just a commission, but the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission, John? And this is the book of Acts here, all right? This is really the key verse in the book of Acts. He's talking to the church. You will receive what? Power. That's dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. When? Because you're so awesome? When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You don't have the power until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then resulting, you're going to speak in tongues and have a lot of ecstatic utterances. It's going to be fun. And you're going to get woo, and you're going to have a Holy Ghost time. No, you will be my what? Witnesses, the Greek word martyrio, from which we get martyrs. Where at? Jerusalem, hometown. All Judea, home country. Samaria, those half Jews that you kind of don't like. And to the end of the earth. All right, so that's the Great Commission. Then Jesus gives it to them. He says, you got it? They say, we got it. He ascends to heaven to the right hand of the Father. And he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Does the church do that? No. You're like, I don't know. No. They hang around here. We like this. We like Jerusalem. That's hometown. And here. All right, we'll do that. And they went a little bit here, but forget this. Man, that's for somebody else. It's for somebody else, man. I don't relate to those people, those Gentiles, those goyim. And so Jesus said, you know, go into all the world. They were sticking around home base. And so what does Jesus do? He allows persecution. Some of you got some stuff going on in your life and your butt's getting kicked and you're dragging your tail and you're wondering what's going on. And I'm not saying it always is this way, but sometimes it's just God getting your attention. God, wear not your backside to get you to know what you're supposed to be doing, to start doing it. See, there's a lot of you in this room, I love you, but you ain't doing what you know, what you say you believe, you ain't doing. And so, why am I going through all this? Not all the time, because Job went through it and God was using him to glorify himself, but a lot of times God allows persecution, trials, pain, disease even, in our lives, to get Christian butts out of church seats. And so Peter's like, all right, so Peter's, you know, I get it. These other disciples are going elsewhere. Peter went here and there. I thought this interesting phrase. He's kind of going among them all. But he's going among them all, still his people. Now, you can't see this. I'm sorry about that. But here's Jerusalem, all right? Can you see that? Can you see the circle? Say yes. All right, thank you. All right, this is Judea, Samaria, Galilee. Jesus spent a lot of time in Galilee. They would come around here and not go through Samaria because Samaritans were half Jews and you don't want to hang around half Jews. They're kind of stinky. And when Jesus went right slap through it to see who? Woman at the well. But so Peter was hanging around. So he's going here, there, yeah. And he ends up in Joppa. Right here on the seacoast. It's an old sea harbor, very important sea harbor, very Jewish. He ends up in Joppa. In Joppa, now we looked at this, 12 weeks ago. He heals a bedridden dude, been in bed 8 years. I mean, really sick, not faking it. And he raises a dead lady. I mean, you've never been to a church service where a dead person has been raised, I'm sure. And so things are going awesome. They're going awesome, healings. And folks being raised from the dead and people coming to Christ because of, they're like, oh my goodness. But I don't know if Peter ever thought of another guy in Joppa, another famous guy who went to Joppa, had a call of God, a tough, uncomfortable call of God. Any Bible scholars? Jonah. Jonah. Very good. Jonah. Jonah, thousands of years later or earlier, had gone to Joppa. He wasn't staying in Joppa. He was getting a ship to go to the ends of the world to get away from the call of God, because God had called Jonah to go prophesy about judgment coming on some evil Ninevites, Gentiles, non-Jews, wicked, wicked, wicked people. And Jonah said, I ain't doing that. I want them to all go to hell. I don't want to repent. And so he tried to run from the will of God. If you try to run from the will of God, what happens? He sends a fish. Some of you in your life, God's sending a fish. The fish might be in a, you know, form of a bill collector. Right? That bill collector swallows you whole. But he's going to send it if you're his. Now, if he don't send a fish, you probably ain't his. Neighbor kids, they screw up, I just send them home. They ain't mine. I don't have to discipline them. Get in trouble if I do. God send a fish because he tried to, and God dragged him kicking and screaming into his will. That's not the way to do it, folks. Some of you, God is having to drag, kicking and screaming, to do what you know he has commanded you to do. Why not cooperate? So will Peter cooperate? I don't know if Peter thought about the parallel or not. Oh, another thing. This is just an aside. Something you to write down and feel smart, you know, while you're at, you know, Bible Pictionary with somebody else. Peter's real name was what? Simon Bar-Jonah. What does that mean? Well, that means his dad's name was Jonah. That's really all it means, but I thought it was kind of cool. Simon Bar-Jonah. Jesus changed his name to Peter. You'll be called Cephas, which means Peter, but his real name was Simon Bar-Jonah. So here he comes to a Jonah moment, a Jonah crisis, an uncomfortable moment. So let's see how he does. Now, we're going to read the Bible. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
All right, good, 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 because we got a lot. I'm like, oh, it's so much. All right, so we're Acts 9:43. And if you don't have a Bible, you're like, well, I don't have to read because I don't have a Bible. Ha! There's one in front of you. It's our gift to you. It's the Blue Bible, page 1017, 1017, in there. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, there's enough of you. The rest of you stragglers, hurry up. And we're going to end with just the last verse of the chapter 9, because that's where I was when Peter was doing all this stuff, having these healings, having these revivals. And he, Peter, stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. And then at Caesarea, so now it takes it 35 miles north in the story. At Caesarea, and Caesarea, by the way, was a place that was more Romanized. The Romans had basically taken it over. They had a temple to Zeus and all this stuff, temple to Caesar. There was a, think San Francisco, all right? It's kind of that. So anyway, it was just totally pagan, all right? Anything goes. Jews don't want to go to Caesarea unless I have to. Bunch of wackadoodles there. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. What was his name?
Cornelius.
He was a centurion. That's basically a non-commissioned officer, the ones that really make the military work, all right? And he was in charge of what was known as the Italian cohort, or you could translate that division. So he had like 100 dudes under him. A devout man, now this, we're going to come back to this, who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, prayed continually to God. Whoa. About the ninth hour of the day, the ninth hour, what is that, 3 p.m.? They start at 6 in the morning, sunrise, and then track from there, all right? So about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, I put a box around a vision, an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror. Ha, you would too. Somebody comes in your bedroom, hey, Judy, and said, what is it, Lord? Now that word Lord, you're like, does he call him God? No, not necessarily. Lord was a term of respect as well. Kind of multi-use term. Kurios is the Greek word. What is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. He doesn't say they saved him. We'll talk about that. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who's called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, another Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. So another devout, you know, a person who's not of the Christian faith, but trying to worship God clumsily. From among those who attended him and having related everything, told the story to him, he sent them to Joppa, 35 miles away. day and a half trip, basically. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter, all right, now it comes back to Joppa. Peter went up to the housetop. There was always a flat roof, you know, with kind of a little fence thing around it where they would go up and sometimes sleep if it, you know, was in the shade. And about the sixth hour, all right, so the sixth hour would be what? Start from six. Noon. Y'all need help. All right, the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry. I underlined that because this is going to be cool. And wanted something to eat. Hallelujah. But while he was preparing it, he fell into a trance. I put a box around that, just like I put a box around the vision for Cornelius. And saw the heavens open. And something like a great sheet, double underlined, descending, being let down, excuse me, by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals. And that Greek word is the four-footed things and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him. I love this. I love this. I love this. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, whoa, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's common, which means defiled, or unclean, which means impure. God's telling him to do something. He's like, no, God. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. Underline that whole thing. What God, because that's the central text. This happened three times. How many times?
Three.
And the thing was taken up at once into heaven. Whew. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what this vision that he had seen might mean, because you would be too if you had a vision like that three times, and you're like, oh my goodness, what does this mean? Behold, at that exact moment, look at the timing of God. The men who were sent by Cornelius finally get there, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, we don't know internally or he heard audibly, behold, three men. How many men?
Three.
Three. Circle three. The other three, put a line between them, are looking for you. Rise and go, underline go, it's imperative, down and accompany, underlining accompany, imperative, them without hesitation, for I've sent them. And so Peter's like, whoa. Peter goes down to the men and says, I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright, God-fearing man, who's well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come, underline that, to his house and to hear, underline that, what you have to say. So he invited him in to be his guest, which was not normal. But because he'd had a vision, he's starting to put two and two together. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa, six of them we find out later, accompanied him. So six believers accompany him, which is smart. And on the following day they entered Caesarea, circle Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. And had called together his relatives and close friends. The dude's becoming an evangelist before he's even saved. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now this means, it's the Greek word proskuneo. It doesn't necessarily, because we don't know his heart. What that word means is just fall down in obeisance before. Doesn't mean necessarily he thought he was God. I don't think he did. But Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I too am a man, which is humility right there. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. He's like, whoa. And he said to them, you yourselves know, and he just gets real, how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. Now, Peter was correct, but incorrect. Correct in the fact that it was unlawful, but it's not in the Bible. God never said you couldn't associate. He said you can't marry, you can't do certain things with other unbelievers. He did not say you couldn't associate, talk to somebody, buy something from somebody. But later on, in Peter's day, the rabbis had added that to the word of God. So Peter's just, he's not stupid about it. He's just referencing it. You know that here's how it goes. Here's how our faith, the Hebrew faith is, that we're not even supposed to hang around y'all or associate with you. But God has shown me I should not call a person common or unclean. I underlined that whole thing. So when I was sent for you, I came in without objection. And I asked then why you sent for me. Now, we're going to skip down to verse 33 because Cornelius just tells about his vision again. Verse 33, so I sent for you at once. I had this vision, told me to send for you, I sent for you at once. Verse 33, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God. I underlined each word to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. What have you been commanded by the Lord? The Great Commission. So Peter opened his mouth, because he's a preacher, and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. That doesn't mean that their people are saved. It just means that God goes, okay, now I'm going to work on you. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, not just Israel. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea. So he contextualizes it, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, so now he gives the gospel. He set it up. He contextualizes Jesus. He says, y'all have heard this. Y'all know this stuff. This happened, you know, just miles away. We are his witnesses. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who've been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Because the Gentiles, these Greeks or Romans, did not believe in the resurrection. So he's like, hey, dude, let me give you some proof. Not only did I see him, but we also ate with him. We ate with him. And he commanded us, there's the commission again, to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, not just the Jews, the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that, now look at this, I underline this whole thing, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter just takes this sermon, mini sermon, and by the way, Peter's just started. He's just started. But the Holy Spirit sometimes interrupts. Verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Heard the what? Heard the word. The believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, these are the six dudes, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. What? Well, they were hearing them, the Gentiles, Cornelius and gang, speaking in tongues, that's the Greek word glossa. It means languages, known languages, but ones you haven't learned. So quite possibly the Hebrew language, they're like, whoa, you guys are in Hebrews, what's up, man? Speaking in tongues and extolling, praising God. And then Peter declared, let me go back there. So this is the people like, why don't we do tongues and all that stuff? The tongues were shown three times in the book of Acts. First, at the falling of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 on the Jewish believers, right? Followers of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Proof was the glossa, the different languages, which was an Old Testament proof to unbelievers. Then when they took the gospel to the Samaritans, the half-Jews, as an evidence to the believing Jews, so that they could go, okay, they got the Holy Spirit. They really got the Holy Spirit too. There were languages, tongues. And now to the Gentiles, they are so blown away because, wow, these folks, and they thought before, not to go on a rabbit trail, but Peter had thought, and one of the things of the letdown sheet was, yeah, you can become a Christian, and all the Jews basically thought this, you can become a Christian, a follower of the Jewish Messiah, but you have to become a Jew first. So you have to come into the Jew, Judaism can be reformed, and then you need to get circumcised, and then you trust Jesus in that order, and God's blowing it up. And say, no, that's not true. And Peter was blown away. And so when they see that the Holy Spirit is evident in these Gentile believers without them becoming Jews first, they're like, whoa. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, I love this, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you really need to circle the word baptize three times, because you heard the word of God and you trusted Jesus. Some of you years ago and you've never been baptized. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? These folks that same day, bam, right there. That's the New Testament example. There was no waiting period. If you really were a Christian, then you got baptized many times on the spot. So some of you need to get off your duff. Aren't you glad to have me back? You need to get off your duff, get out of your little Freddy pants motif, and sign up online to get baptized next time, amen? And then you've been having a bunch of them baptized while I'm gone. I was actually here Father's Day. That was awesome. Amen. But there's a few of you out there, you need help. All right? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the six dudes, because he's telling other people to do it, that's the six dudes, they baptize him. And then they asked him to remain for some days, kind of a follow-up ministry. So I love this passage. There's so much here. How much time do we have? Oh my goodness, look at that. All right. So, do you know one thing about me being on sabbatical? You folks have gotten used to shorter messages from these guys. There's a ton here. There's a ton here. But we're only going to be able to drill down an overarching truth that God wants for you, not just for today, Sunday, but also for Monday morning and, you know, Thursday night. Here's a lesson. Here's God's problem with me and challenge to me, and his problem with you and his challenge to you out of this text. All right, you ought to write this down somewhere. I've got my own sheet. I've got my own sheet. What do you mean you got your own sheet? My sheet that I filled in my mind with my upbringing, because of my experiences with people, because that's the main thing. It's not about food as much as it is about people. Not as much about unclean food as it is about unclean people. We do. We've got a sheet that we filled with people who we consider common or unclean, specifically individuals or sometimes whole people groups. Or instead of a sheet, you could call it quite accurately a bundle of bums. My bundle of bums. That collective group of folks I don't really like and that I probably think that I'm better than or smarter than. We've all got our bundle of bums. Remember Hillary Clinton referred to her bundle as what? A basket of deplorables. That was Hillary's bundle of bums. Maybe she said it on TV. Well, Pastor John, are you saying that you struggle with prejudice? That's what you're saying? Yeah. What? You're the lead pastor of a multicultural church. I'm not talking about racial aspect in this for me. In my sheet, let down, in my bundle of bums, let me tell you a few folks in there that I wrestle with. Panhandlers at Walmart. I don't believe them. I don't, and that's sad. Because some might be genuine, but there's a lot of fakes. So I've consigned basically all of them to my bundle of bums, fakes. You guys, some of you making $60,000 a year, right? Who else is in my bundle of bums? Dudes in dresses? All right, hang on. Dudes in dresses need Jesus too. That's the truth here. I won't tell you where we're at. Grandson, we're going to get working on a chicken, the palace, and getting wood, which is expensive. And we're there and we're checking out at this wood store somewhere in America. And at the contractor counter is a dude. All right, just think of Jay Blizzard with lipstick. He's as big as Jay. I mean, big dude. Hi, boys. Oh, it's so wonderful to have you. Oh, are you military? Fingernails, pink. And, you know, but I've seen him before, so I'm nice to him, you know. Hey, yeah. And my grandson, 10 years old, goes, Papa. Papa. And, you know, I'm semi-deaf or mostly deaf, so I could see his lips moving. Papa. What? He goes, I'm very uncomfortable. Can we please hurry? Transvestites need Jesus too. Oh, yeah. Well, I ain't gonna reach him. Hang on. It's getting uncomfortable in here. Good, that's because I entitled the message, Uncomfortable. God calling me to my unclean. Who's God calling you to? And by the way, quit judging me. You got your bundle of bums too. We're going to talk about them here in a second. So you ready to get uncomfortable? You ready? Come on. Yeah. All right. If you're taking notes, and you should, point number one. I got a bundle of bums I need to deal with. You're like, deal with? Why, John, you know, I just live and let live. I ignore them. They ignore me. Everybody's happy. And they end up winding up in hell. many of them, because you had the answer on how not to go to hell, but you avoided them. Put them in your bundle of bums. What if God wants to use me specifically to reach them with the gospel like he did Peter? And I can hear some of you, well, you know, God can use people who can relate better, who are not creeped out by them, you know, like I am. God could have done that here. Guess what God had just a few miles away, who Jesus had reached, basically reached with the gospel of Christ? Two different centurions. Two centurions. One came to him and said, heal my servant. Heal my servant, Lord. All you got to do is say the word. Because I'm under, you know, command, and I command, and I know that you are the commander of the universe, basically, as he's saying. All you got to do is say the word. Jesus, I've never seen such faith in all Israel. This dude believed in Jesus. Centurion number one, centurion number two, at the foot of the cross. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Two centurions. Who could have related to this centurion? God didn't use him. You would have thought he would have. Just probably a few miles away. Day two trip. But God was doing a bigger thing. In your life, God's maybe trying to do a bigger thing than you could imagine or think. And you're resisting because you got a bundle of bums. People you won't relate. I know it's uncomfortable. That's the message. It's uncomfortable. We all got people in our bundle. In that sheet that God is letting down right here by four corners in this auditorium into your lap and your heart and your conscience. Well, not me. Quit lying in church. A few years ago, some of you, I love you, but it's, you know who was in your bundle of bums? The unvaccinated. The unvaccinated. You're going to kill grandma. Don't you have a soul? You're unclean. Maybe for you, it's folks still riding with Biden. Bundle of bums. How can anybody vote for that idiot? Don't know where he's at. That's what some of you. Others of you, anybody with a MAGA hat is in your bundle of bums. Those people can't be real Christians. I've heard some of you say it. If you've lumped a whole group of people into your bundle of bums, you are by definition prejudiced. By definition. That's what this whole text is about. This is getting uncomfortable. Good, hang on. Peter, a man of God, a man who prayed more than you do, witnessed more than you do, sacrificed for Jesus more than you probably ever will, walked with Jesus more than you probably ever will. He's praying in the middle of the day up on a hot roof, walking with Jesus, all while being totally prejudiced. Totally prejudiced. And God's been using him, by the way, too, huh? But God, he's not about to leave you where you are. Amen? God ain't having it. Peter was going here and there, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel to his own people, to people he was comfortable with. But the Gentiles, man, in Peter, they were big time in Peter's bundle of bums. So God says, all right, God puts him in a trance. We don't know what that was. It was different than the vision. Vision is one Greek word. It's kind of a vision. Trance is something that's harder to define. It's like an altered state or something. It's not quite a vision. It's different. Don't know exactly how to explain it. And look at this. Most preachers have big appetites, don't we? We do. Years ago, we were invited, my family, when I was here as the music director, making not very much money, also a painting business on the side. Tom Tuttle and I driving to Liberty University twice a week, trying to finish our degrees, almost starving. And one of our families in my class, one of the young couples class I taught, they invited us over to eat. And so me, you know, my whole family, we come in and they had set up a lot of food and they said, eat as much as you want. Now that's a dangerous thing to say to a Houston. And so we did. We did, but you know what they did afterwards? We heard it came back around, you know, church gossip. Man, I heard that you ate the Slademan's out of house and home. And my wife was so embarrassed, and I'm like, they said whatever you want. Don't cook so much if you don't want me to attack it. So here, look at this in Acts 10. The next day, as they're on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry. and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, saw the heavens open, something like a sheet descending, being let down by its four corners. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice. John, do you think God's a vegan? No. I don't. Peter, I see you're famished, bro. Come and get some of this. You got some bacon in here. You got some ribs in here. You got some catfish in here. And he's blown away because good Jews don't do bacon. And they don't eat beer-battered catfish. They think shrimp scampi is sin. Aren't you glad you're not a Jew? Hallelujah. Unclean. But God's doing two big things. He's changing their temporary, for the Old Testament period only, dietary restrictions to some lessons to Israel. And then he's even more springboarding into an even more important lesson. Peter said, by no means, Lord. Yeah, no. For I've never, never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Lord, come on. These are holy lips. This is a holy belly. And the voice came to him again and said a second time, what God has made clean, you idiot. It's in the Greek. Do not call common. Who made it clean? Oh, this dude. This happened how many times?
Three
times, and the thing was taken at once back to heaven. Let me say this. Prejudice has no place in God's kingdom. No place. Because man's kingdom is full of it. Some of you are still living in man's kingdom, aren't you? Peter's all, what? What? This is about the same reaction, honestly, if you try to figure out, because we can't grasp it because we're not Jews, right? The whole dietary law, you know, most of us, you know, we just ate what we want. So this would be like some of you Baptists, you hardcore Baptists, you know who you are. You're out there on your back deck, you're doing your morning devotions with Jesus, you know. Got your little promise book. 365 promises. You're like, Lord, I thank you so much for the promise today. And all of a sudden, God appears. Hello. Like, wow. What in the world? And this sheet comes down out of heaven. And it's filled with all manner of craft beers. And you're a Baptist. And God says, rise, Billy. Pop open and drink. You're like, no, Lord, I have never. These lips are holy. I didn't hear it because I'm deaf, so I'll move on. Peter's not getting it. It's against all of his prejudices, all of his upbringing. Now he's even praying harder. God, what in the world does this mean? It blew him away. And our sovereign... Acts 10. Peter was inwardly perplexed. That's an understatement to the vision he had seen. And then right when that happened, look at the timing of God. The men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out, hey, Simon there, man. Is that dude Simon there? And Peter's pondering the vision. The Spirit said to him, rise, or behold, three men. How many men?
Three.
Are looking for you. Rise. This is the imperative. And go down and accompany them. Command. Without hesitation, for I have sent them. Interesting that Greek words for sent is epistelo, from which we get the word what? Apostle. He's basically saying these are sent ones. They're not biblical apostles, but they're sent ones. So I imagine Peter's figuring, oh, cool, it's some of my old buddies, James and John, you know, back to strike up the band. Haven't seen them for a while. That's going to be awesome. He goes down the stairs in the back, rounds the corner, and here are two obvious non-Jews, because you could tell Jews from non-Jews. Boom. And a Roman soldier in full regalia. Oh, no, it's the popo. You never like the popo at your door. I got one in my family. I can imagine Peter going, oh, crap. Oh, stinking crap. John Peter would never say crap. Read your Bible. He said worse. He's denying Jesus. But the Spirit of God had already got his attention, is tweaking his prejudiced heart. He commanded him to go with them. These dudes tell him about Cornelius' vision. Old Peter starts connecting the dots. And here's what the Spirit of God is saying to me and to you this morning. And I want you to get this. I've got a bundle of bums I need to deal with. I'm not telling you to become like them. No, not at all. If they're sinful, I ain't going to put on nails, paint my lips to try to reach this guy at that lumber company. But I'm going to try to take him out of my bundle of bums and pray for him and give him the gospel. If God gives me and God opens the door like he opened the door for Peter. But it's hard, John. It's not how I was raised. It's uncomfortable. I get it. All spiritual growth is uncomfortable. Have you noticed that, Christians? All spiritual growth is uncomfortable. Mama called them growing pains. So how do I deal with my own personal bundle of bums? Number two, point number two, I have to believe his revealed words, not my own feelings, and obey. Believe his revealed words, not my own stinking feelings, and obey. Now look at this. I want you to get this. God changed Peter's mind in a vision on the rooftop. His mind was being changed, starting to be changed. But Peter's heart wasn't changed until he obeyed. That's how it works in your life. That's how it works in your kid's life. A lot of us in our minds, we know the truth, but our hearts haven't really been changed because we haven't obeyed that truth. Case in point. Most of you would say, yeah, I believe in tithing, but not most of you do it. Your heart's not there yet. And Jesus said it, look at this. Where your treasure is, there what? Your heart will be also. It's not just intellectually believing it, it's doing it, and your heart follows the doing. Don't follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Some of you parents, I love you, you're ruining your kids. Maybe that's too strong. You're hurting your kids with an overemphasis on feelings. Oh, how does that make you feel? And they think that feelings is the main thing. Now, I'm not saying ignore feelings, all right, all you mothers. Pastor John, no. Feelings are there. They're God-inspired, you know, God-designed, but you're not supposed to run on your feelings because when you do, you end up in the ditch every time. You don't want your kids in the ditch. Mom, I don't feel like going to school today. Okay, honey, I know. Take a soul day. Ruin your child. I never felt like going to school a day in my life. I faked earaches all the time because your earache, I learned, you can fake. You can fake an earache, kids. Write this down. And, you know, since I had some earaches early on, then, and I missed a lot of school. That's why I, you know, am not as smart as I ought to be. Because I didn't feel like going to school. Most of you don't ever feel like working, going to work, right? And some of you, the reason you can't keep a job is because your feelings drive. Well, honey, call in for me. That's the wimpiest thing in the world, by the way. You dudes, you have your wife call your boss. Shame on you. And have her lie for you. Shame on stinking you. Grow up, man up. Quit running on your feelings. Run on the truth, the faith, the facts. And when you do what you're supposed to do, your feelings will follow. Your heart will follow. So the truth, here's the truth. Write this down. The truth. What you do is more important than how you feel. What you do is more important than how you feel. John, where you go? You'll see. God knows how hard-hearted and hard-headed we are. And so it would be nice, wouldn't it, if he would just give us time to adjust when he gives us a new truth. But he doesn't. He expects immediate obedience. Immediate obedience, and that's uncomfortable. But God's not concerned really about how I feel about his commands, only that I act on them. Because he knows that feelings will follow obedience. Point number two, that's the truth. Then here's the action. Do what's right and let God change your heart. Those of you folks who say, well, I believe in tithing, and you give me all excuses why you can't, stop it. Just do it. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart follows. Peter looked back finally, you know, and says, after this happened, yeah, man, I didn't want to do that. I'm like, man, I saw that Roman soldier. I'm like, oh my goodness, what in the world? But I did. Because God told me, because of this vision, you know, this thing that I had, this, you know, wow, I was uncomfortable, but there's God telling me what to do, and so I did it, didn't want to do it. Knew people would talk about me. Next week, we find out people do. But I grew spiritually, and the Gentiles received the gospel, and the church began a whole new chapter of expansion, and my obedience set the stage for this dude that took it from there like a baton in a race. His name was Paul, and I set him up for that. Man, that's some amazing comfort, being directly used of God. So first, I've got my bundle of bums I need to deal with. How do I deal? I have to believe his revealed words, not my own feelings, and obey. Believe, say believe, and then do what?
Obey.
Okay, John, all right, okay, John. You're talking to me, and I'm a believer, and my mother-in-law is firmly planted by me in my bundle of bums. She and I, oh my goodness. Or my creepy coworker, right? Not a nice coworker, creepy. Creepy ones ought to be in my bundle of bums, right, John? I'm not saying date them, okay? That racist neighbor, John. You could put racists in the bundle of bums, can't you? Racists need Jesus, amen? Here's what happens when a racist trusts Jesus. He quits being a racist. He realizes that, hey, there's just one race. It's called mankind. That's the answer to racism is Jesus, not politicians or programs. That's preaching, Pastor John. Thank you, I know. But John, I don't want to reach them with the gospel, but as a Christian, I believe that in God's calling and God's commission. So obey how, man? Where do I start? Just like Peter did. Even though he didn't know he was doing that. I pray to the Father. Peter had a prayer habit. Peter had a prayer discipline. You know what? I've begun to pray in the morning time with God. I spend time in the morning with God. And, you know, not on the rooftop, but in my shop or in my garden. And this is something, and I want you to listen to it. And I pray this, and I mean it. God, may I be a prayer warrior, not a prayer wimp. There's some of you in here who could take me in a fight. You may be a military warrior, but in prayer, you're a wimp. In prayer, you're a wimp. You are. Some of you ladies, you're wimpy in prayer. You're not a warrior in prayer. Your kids are going through things and God has the answer. And he says, you have not because you ask not, but you give a little piddle in prayer. You're not a warrior in prayer. You're a wimp in prayer. Let me challenge you. Learn to pray. All of our failures are prayer failures. I believe that. Pray, seek, knock. Bug the pot out of heaven. And God says, that pleases me. So Peter was a prayer warrior. He was a prejudicial dude. He's got a lot of issues, you know. He lied and all that crap. But God is fixing him. And God says, next discipleship growth for Peter. Peter's praying. Pray. What do I pray? Well, if you don't know how to pray, pray the Lord's pattern. Not just the words, but Lord, your will be done. Show me, Lord, what you want me to do as far as giving the gospel, as far as getting uncomfortable. Show me. I want to embrace your will, your kingdom come. But how do I know who, John? How do I know who? Some of you already know. You're sitting there and you know. Holy Spirit's been going, You're seeing their name or seeing their face. You know, they're in your basket of bums. They've been in a long time. Some of you, you might say, well, I really don't care if they go to hell. Well, that's a crappy Christian attitude. Because Jesus saved me and he saved you. And you deserved hell and I deserved hell. Jesus saved Paul. Paul was a murderer. Peter was a guy with a lot of problems. Jesus could save anybody. He could transform any life. Any life. That's how powerful he is. And by the way, if you say that, you don't know how hot and how eternal hell is. You don't. You just, it's some little mystical place. You don't really believe in it. Put on the whole armor of God every morning like I've been trying to teach you. Ephesians 6. We don't have time to go into the whole passage, but here's one thing I do. Every morning I pray, I connect with the Lord, I present myself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then I armor up. I go, Lord, it's the morning, because you know you typically don't put your armor on when you're going to bed. That would be uncomfortable. So I armor up in the morning and put on the different pieces. I don't have time to go through that. I'm probably going to do a whole series at the end of the year on that. But he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Let me get the right little thing here. Whole armor. All of it. Every piece. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. All of God's truth. Even the uncomfortable truth. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. God's truth lived as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness to give, or given by the gospel of peace. Taking the truth. Some people translate this, the timely delivery of truth. And so I pray, God, help me to take the truth where you want the truth taken. The right truth, right place, right time, right person. Show me. If I really want your will, then you want me. Your will is the Great Commission. You want me to reach people who are on their way to hell. You want me to reach them for Jesus. That's uncomfortable. I get it. But when I do it, my heart follows when I see God doing huge things in people's lives. And so I take up the whole armor of God and I say, all right, God, and I do every morning differently, but I say, Lord, help me to take your truth, the timely delivery of your truth to whoever. Lord, I've got some appointments today, so maybe it's them. But Lord, any other thing, I've got some people coming to buy some stuff, you know, from online today, maybe it's them. It has opened my eyes. It's made me cognizant of opportunities. You do that. Pray that. How do I obey? I pray to the Father, and then quickly I share the gospel. It should be a no-brainer. Here's what I don't share. And you could share, but you know, at certain times, I don't share my politics. I have a relative who is of a different faith. I've told you about him. He's Jewish. He is on the opposite extreme politically of me. I do not engage him in politics. I try to avoid it. Why? Because I want to give him Jesus. I want to introduce him to Jesus, not my political party. Some of you, you're driving people away with the stupid things you put online. Stupid memes that you, come on. I'm not saying do it, but just have wisdom. Pray before you click that button. How about, Lord Jesus, is this helpful? I share the gospel. John, I don't get along with mom, but you know, she's in my basket there. She's in my bundle of bad, you know, or bums, but she's religious, so I think she's okay in that department. Cool, she's religious, but is she going to heaven? Listen, if there ever was a guy who could get to heaven by his good works, it was this dude. He makes most of us look bad. And he's not even a Christian. He was a devout man who feared God, and with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God, continually. And by the way, he feared God with all his household, all of his household. This dude, you'd look at and go, man, you ought to be a deacon at our church. But he wasn't a believer. And God doesn't say, cool, Cornelius, I'm going to let you into heaven because you're so pious, man. Woo, you are awesome. No, God says, hey, Cornelius, yeah, awesome. Way to go. Those, your prayers and alms have come up before me in remembrance. So you got my attention. But now you need to hear and receive the gospel of my son Jesus in order to get to heaven. So get a hold of a dude named Peter and he'll tell you. You needed somebody to tell him. What is that? What is that all about, John? What's that all about? Here's what it's all about. Romans 10. How can they call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Then he says, I love it. How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, Old Testament, how beautiful are the what's? Oh, the feet of the child with the preparation of the gospel of peace, of messengers who bring good news. Some of you, many of you, God love you, I love you. You got ugly feet. Your feet aren't beautiful because your feet are carrying everything, but the important thing to not only the people that are in your bundle of bums, but your family. You say you love your family. They're going to hell, some of them. You're the one that's closest to him has got the truth. and you ain't done squat. Well, that's uncomfortable. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Let me say this real quick. Good works don't work. Only God's work works. Good works, write it down, don't work. Good work, if they would work, this guy would have been going to heaven. He wouldn't have had to send Peter or anything. He would have just said, cool, man, you're awesome. You're better than most Baptists. Good works don't work to get you to heaven. Only God's work on the cross works. Amen? Who is it? Who is it? Somebody hurt you, and they've been placed by you and your bundle of bums. Somebody you work with. A weird neighbor, somebody who doesn't look like you, somebody of another faith, different politics, whose name, whose face is God putting in your heart right now that you need to obey his leading and bring them the gospel? I was talking to Robin about this message in the porch yesterday morning, and she said, oh, there's a perfect Spurgeon quote. And I said, send it to me, and here it is. This is huge. If sinners be damned, and they will be, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned or unprayed for. Who in your circle of relationships is going to hell unwarned and unprayed for? And by the way, back earlier, you have not because you ask not. God wants to save them more than you want them saved. But he says, I work in response to my people's asking. But I don't understand. You don't have to. It's here. Just obey. Amen. Look at this. This says it all, and then we close. I am not ashamed, Paul said. I'm not a what? Some of us are. Of the gospel. Why? 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 Because it is the power, the dunamis of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. If Peter hadn't brought the gospel to Cornelius, the Gentiles, en masse, then we, because all of us here, maybe a few exceptions, a few Jews in here, I don't know, would never have gotten the gospel. Somebody got uncomfortable. We benefit from it. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed, Christian. Get uncomfortable. Then be obedient. And then you'll experience the real comfort of being greatly used by our powerful and wonderful God. Amen. God, we pray that you will just drive this truth into our heart and soul. And Lord, help us to say, all right, Lord, I don't want a life of pain, but neither do I want just this life that doesn't count, this uncomfortable. I want a life that counts, and I know I'm going to have to get uncomfortable. So I pray that you will, wherever I need to, make me be uncomfortable and let me look at those folks in my bundle of bums and see who you're sending me to and get uncomfortable and trust you that you'll send me the power and the wisdom and set up the opportunity because you care about them more than I do. In Jesus' name, all God's uncomfortable people said, amen. Homework. And most of you won't do this, and I know that, but hey, some of you that do, I think you benefit from it. Get yourself just a napkin. Go to a restaurant or whatever. You might want to do it in private. Kind of, this is a sheet, right? Lay it out on the table in front of you. And then take your pen and write down who's really in that sheet of uncleanness, that bundle of bums in your life. Write them down by name or by racial group or whatever. And then hold it up and say, God, use me. Help me to see people rightly. And Lord, help me to take them out and get rid of that and realize you have said that everybody needs Jesus. So may I go to everybody, no matter who you send me to, uncomfortable or not, everybody needs Jesus because you have not called them common or unclean. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.